Well,
we are on
that's
record.
Okay. A great case.
That's the way it works when my family came from Ireland and Scotland. Except you stated that
well, not in the morning.
So I will.
Enjoy the parking
lot. He's our uncle. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Can I shall we call the meeting? Give me a second here.
You're pulling up your statement?
I'm pulling up my statement. Thank you.
You don't have that tattoo on your wrist or anything yet?
You don't have a
let's,
memory?
Let's stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the October 1st, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Butcher, Kildorf, and Shike are absent.
Absent.
Sneaky.
I told Denise. Yeah, I was going to get you tonight. You can call everyone else.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Semay?
Here.
How about Mr. Ardini?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's Swarthy.
See, you threw her off her game.
First of all, I'm in the wrong column. I'm in the column for the meeting minutes, and I looked that you were not eligible. So basically, you're not eligible to be present.
I threw you off.
You did.
All right, I'm here.
Can we start over again?
Yeah. He wants a second chance to ask.
Sorry about that.
All right, we have some meeting minutes. I think there's one set today, the minutes of July 16th, 2018.
Yes.
They were previously distributed by Secretary. Are there any questions or comments or concerns on those minutes?
I did receive a few couple of emails with some minor type corrections.
Motion?
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Great. We'll do the next minutes at the next meeting for the August 20, I presume. We have resolution.
We have one. We don't have Annandale yet.
I was just going to say So we'll hold that one until next time?
Yeah, I'll probably have it out tomorrow. Got a little complicated at the end.
There was a lot in that one, so yeah. That's understandable.
Are we meeting again tomorrow?
You are just a glutton for fun, aren't you?
You can come.
Yeah.
We'll be absent.
Yeah.
We do have... We do have T-Mobile Northeast LLC, Lock 1301, Lot 1, Application 201416. This resolution memorializing the grant of extensions of time periods to obtain construction periods and complete construction and obtain permanent certificate of completion or use was distributed by Mr. Drill?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And we have two typo corrections. First of all, this is dated September 30th, version number 2. And we have a typo correction on page 3. The second paragraph, the first full whereas paragraph, the date, October 4, 2012, should be October 4, 2010. And then on page 6, paragraph 4, turning to the issue of whether there are any factors that weigh in favor of extending the time period in which to obtain a construction permit, singular, not plural. And then on page 7, Mr. Schneider wasn't at the meeting, but Mr. Scheich was.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. And Ms. Butcher just came in, just in time for the T-Mobile resolution, although she's not eligible. But Mr. Scheich is not here also, but it should be obviously Scheich and not Schneider. I don't know what happened.
What were you thinking?
I obviously wasn't.
Probably one of those 2 a.m. drafts.
Yeah, actually. So does
you
anybody?
No, this one came out right before the football game started. I was in a rush.
Anybody have any questions or concerns?
No.
If not, with that minor adjustment, is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Okay. Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Morvini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
And Mr. Kleinhans.
What did he say?
Absent, Mr. Schneider.
Glad we Mr. Schneider, but we agree on this. Mr. Schneider's not here.
I'm glad we approved it because they moved the cow and it's the foundation is under heavy construction.
Yep.
All right. Next up is a capital improvement review. North 104 East Regional High School District. Application 201810, replacement plan for the visitors' bleachers at North Hunterdon High School.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's a pleasure to be in Clinton tonight. I have Mike Wiskowski on behalf of Mid-Atlantic Engineering, who will just give you a short overview of really what amounts to.
Could you introduce yourself to everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know you, but they don't.
It's James L. Lott, Jr., L-O-T-T, Riker, Danzig, Sherhan, and Freddie on behalf of the school board. Put your name and address on
And can you spell your last name slowly?
First name Michael, last name was the last name. W-E-S-E-L-O-S-K-I.
And you're a PE?
That's correct.
Okay. Since this is a Section 31 capital review, we generally don't swear in the witnesses because what the board's job is under NJSA 40:55D-31 is whenever the planning board shall have adopted any portion of the master plan, and this board has adopted almost every portion of the master plan, the governing body or other public agency, such as the Board of Education, before taking any action necessitating the expenditure of any public funds incidental to the location, character, or extent of such project, shall refer the action involving the specific project to the planning board for review and recommendation in conjunction with the master plan. So they're here. You're going to review their project against the master plan. You're going to determine whether it's consistent or inconsistent. And if you have any recommendations for changes in the plan but tied to the master plan. And, you know, sometimes you guys have other recommendations, but it's supposed to be tied to the master plan. And their recommendations, by the way.
Right, they don't have to. But
they don't have to follow them anyway.
Yes, yes.
Correct.
But they might, if you give them some recommendations, you know, the light bulb might go off and they might make a change.
Okay.
I want to steal your phone if you have a little bit in your phone. So anyway, we were, just by way of background, we were here about a year ago for the location of the bleachers and bollards. As a result of, I think, some student interaction, it was determined that we needed to do some relocation of those bollards in order to prevent people from kind of, you know, climbing over the fence. So I'll just give a little overview of the site and then what the change is.
Everyone see the board okay?
Not really.
You may have to put it this
way. Is there anyone in the public interested in this application besides anyone else who might be here for the Board of Education? So you know what to do? I don't have to see it. Why don't you just put the thing front and center right in front of them?
And also if you'd take the handheld
microphone. Yeah, and take the handheld microphone there.
So the building itself would be to the north. The football soccer field would be down here to the south. Route 31 would be to the east. And what you're looking at here is the recently constructed bleachers that we were here, as Jim said earlier this year. The change that we're now proposing is just south of the road and sidewalk, there's an existing guide rail that loops around. Within the frontage of the bleachers, we're looking to remove that guide rail and in place add a series of bollards with fence in between each bollard. The purpose being that the guide rail there is rather low and very easy to hop over, but it then becomes a tripping hazard to any spectators that may be attending an event there. So we feel that by adding bollards and fence in place of that, it'll prevent anyone from easily getting over it, and it'll direct the pedestrian traffic through the intended pedestrian entryways.
What kind of fence?
It's probably a like 4-foot black metal fence.
Like a coated type fence?
Like a chain link? Or?
It's chain link. Excuse me, chain link fence.
Yeah. When you say black, are they painted black or are they coated with plastic with the vinyl stuff?
I believe it would be coated.
The coated.
Yeah.
How wide is the opening where the pedestrians are able to get through?
So the larger one here is about 10, 12 feet,
okay.
And the smaller one is 5 or 6. Both have sufficient access, and well, there will be a proposed step at the western entrance. This entrance will remain accessible.
And wait, right now you said there's currently a guardrail.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Is there a cost impact or a difference on this, or just curious?
Well, they got to pay someone to do it. No one's doing it. Is someone doing this for free?
I doubt it.
No, that's not what he's asking.
No. I said, is there a cost difference on this from
between the guardrail?
Yeah, I guess there is. Because you're getting rid of. Yeah.
Right, it would be added cost because there's demolition and there's new installation.
There's a guardrail there now that you have to take out, right?
That's correct.
It's not like they had something approved. It's actually constructed.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to pay to remove what they paid to have installed.
No,
and then.
Come on up.
There's a project architect who was involved in the preparation of some of the plans.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Donna O'Gorman.
And can you spell your last name slowly?
O.
Yep.
Apostrophe G-O-R-M-A-N.
And you are an AIA?
I am registered architect, AIA.
Great.
Okay, so to answer your question about the guardrail was an existing guardrail that was not part of the original project to replace the bleachers.
Okay.
So there is an added cost, but it's not a cost that we already incurred. The guardrails have been up there.
Up there probably since it was the road.
Prior to me. Okay, so when the road was put up, but the students are hopping over the guardrail. And when we did the project to replace the bleachers, the guardrail was there and was just kept to prevent cars from coming in. But now it's created a student issue where they feel it's easier to hop over than to walk around.
Right.
So, hence, we've designed the bollards and the fence to bring them in at a.
So this is kind of
place.
To re-fence the pedestrian flow, right? So that they're not.
Yes, to redirect the pedestrian flow so kids aren't sitting on the guardrails and then, God forbid, a car comes, they get the guardrail and the kid.
Are those guardrails right on the edge of the road?
The guardrails exist on the road right now.
Now, why can't you keep the guardrails, and install the bollards? Curious. Because
the guardrail is, so here's your road, here's your sidewalk. It's actually set back right behind the sidewalk, so it is right where we want to put it.
There's not the space. There's not, you know, where we've put a sidewalk up to that space.
You know, the guide rail's purpose is also to take the impact of vehicles if a vehicle hit it. And
that's also why we have the bollards.
That's why we're putting bollards instead of just the fence.
So that when a car hit a guide rail, it kind of absorbs the shock if the car hit them. The bollards won't work in the same way.
We believe that the bollards would serve the same intent. Nothing's going to prevent it. The vehicle is going fast enough, the vehicle will unfortunately get out there.
It's really for the safety of the occupants of the vehicle. If the vehicle hits a guide rail at 10, 15 miles an hour, the guide rail, when it breaks, it absorbs that shock.
Right.
So it protects the people in the vehicle.
Okay.
The bollards will not do that.
I thought you were talking about anyone behind.
Protecting the people. So you know that the existing guardrail is from about this point, actually It's all the way over here. It goes through, and it comes around the curve. If everybody's familiar with the school, we're only removing it to this edge here. So the curve area, we'll still have the guardrail at the end of the curve. That's where it's stopping, and we're going to change it to bollards and fencing. So we kept it as much as we could where there's the flow of traffic of students from the school to there. Also, they use this area as a fire, you know, exiting from the school. So they have a better flow of student traffic without kids being mayhem and jumping over.
Is there a reason that the guardrail ends, I guess, three bollards before the fence begins on the right-hand side? It looks like the guardrail stops. There's then three bollards, but, yeah, there's three bollards with nothing connecting.
There's no fence there. It's just the bollards.
And then the fence begins on the other side. Is there a reason that the bollards are there, but that the guardrail is removed in that area?
Well, they wanted, the school district wanted the bollards to come up to here. This is an entrance here. I guess they didn't, you know, if the guardrail continued, this is where the kids would jump over it. This guardrail is far enough away so students will walk through and not feel the urge to climb over. This is also, which isn't shown on the drawing, but pretty much the edge of the school right here. So kids are exiting this way. Not that way, hopefully.
Good. Seems we don't have any questions over here.
It seems,
seems like a pretty straightforward change to the way you're managing the vehicle safety and the pedestrian crossover. So
looks good.
I can't cite an exact provision in the master plan, but there's something in there about, you know, designing things for public safety and everything.
Right. That seems to this would easily. Be consistent.
All right, so do you have any recommendations for any changes on this, or just say that you believe it's consistent with the master plan?
Does anybody have any overriding recommendations or concerns? If not,
so you want Denise to send a letter?
Send a letter saying that
consistent with the master plan, no recommendations.
No recommendations.
Who would you like the letter addressed to? Would you want it to you? Do you want it to superintendent?
Probably to Ms. O'Gorman. And I know we're trying to get building permits as soon as possible.
So would you like a CC to anybody?
Sure. Yeah.
Like the zoning officer, the construction official?
Zoning officer, construction official, and Jeff Bender, the superintendent.
Right.
Okay.
Please copy me as well.
The more the merrier.
Might as well. And that we'll also make sure that you can ask and inform the zoning and the construction code official that we...
Yep.
We're okay with it. So, should we do a quick vote on
this?
Just a heads up, the zoning officer's on vacation this week. So you won't be able to get a zoning permit this week.
You do a motion to direct Denise to write the letter that we just discussed. And
so moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Okay, 1 second. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Semet?
Yes.
The motion carries.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Not too painful, right?
I wish they were all this.
I know. I mean, these are not as, I know.
I know.
I want to make sure people...
Thursday night, I have 200 people out against me. Yeah.
Just come in with these little fences. It's easy.
Make sure they're black vinyl.
Of course, there's no money in that either.
So. Yeah, well, that's also true.
Yeah,
right.
All right. We have vouchers. Next up, you saw them in the mailing. There is two that I'll comment on. If you have any questions, I talked to Denise. The Game Butchers is something that's being done before it comes here, so that may ultimately come here. So that's an okay expense. It's part of the pre-process.
Yeah.
There was a bunch in there for another site that we haven't heard about, and that those really belong with the Board of Adjustment, so they're not in this.
The name was DeSapio on those.
Those DeSapio projects. The others should be pretty routine. We recognize the projects. I've reviewed them. I'm okay. I will make a motion since I've done that. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Communications, none. Reports. Anything from council?
Yeah. We had a council meeting on the 26th that was well attended. Up for approval were four ordinances for affordable housing zones, three of which were approved. It went on for about 4 hours. We finished up about 11 o'clock. I would say that Tom Burns did a very nice job presenting the history of affordable housing for the township and the details of the plans, some rough ideas about timing, which projects had utilities, which projects didn't, all that kind of stuff. And there's a group of folks, the most controversial one was 108 Alton Place, which is ironically almost a model of the existing project, the existing community, just over the line, Clinton Township.
Yeah, I mean,
Clinton Town.
If the people actually knew what was being proposed, yeah, that would have been something to be upset about. But the subcommittee and the township council, got them to agree to something that looked like the rest of it.
Yeah, we made some minor modifications to setbacks and that sort of thing. But you know, the building density, the building heights and design. It's primarily a townhouse community with two separate structures for apartments, some of which are affordable. There's 28 units of affordable in our project, so to speak, in Clinton Township. There's 44 units of affordable in two buildings at the same end of a lot in Clinton Town. And the rest of that community are townhouses, just like our project. So, but it's ironic that that was the one that folks seemed most concerned with. So a lot of discussion, a lot of information, very civil. Order was well maintained. We cautioned folks ahead of time. And so I think it, from I think the township council perspective, and it served its purpose. And the feedback I've gotten from a number of people is that, you know, it was a good meeting, good information conveyed. So three out of the four, Marukian, Alton Place, and LeCompte were approved. There were some deficiencies in the zoning ordinance, say, for the AH8 district, which is Headley Farm. And we needed to add some parameters to that and had a mediation session with the developers last Wednesday with the good Mr. Drill. So we have, I think, an agreement on all counts at this point for that ordinance to move forward, some setbacks and, you know, that sort of thing were added. And I think we can.
So you might want to add then,
please,
with those changes to the ordinance, we think we have an agreement.
Correct.
And that's going to be introduced
at the next council meeting,
which is October 10,
mm-hmm,
which means it will be referred to the planning board,
mm-hmm,
for the October 15th,
mm-hmm,
meeting for a master plan consistency review, and then go back to the township council for a hearing and adoption on November 7.
Yeah, November 7, 14. Let's just,
one of those.
But the next
it'll
council.
Be the 7th.
Yeah, so that's what to expect. And then that's the last ordinance that has to be adopted. And then we have our compliance hearing, mm-hmm, in December. Knock on wood.
Well, I think we're in sort of an interregnum then. You know, it ought to be a quiet period, I think.
Without jinxing anything.
Yeah. And we're waiting on the results of the application to finance the Rukian project at the 9% tax credit tranche. It sounds like there may be a couple of perfect scores ahead of us, like 10 of them. So that may float for another year if we don't get that financing. That's the way the agreement works with Fair Share Housing Center. And
we can try for another bite of that apple.
We'll try it again next time. Good news is we missed on the job number in the QAP. That cost us 2 points. We got 1 point back when John got the good judge to certify the project. But we were 1 point down it looks like the job numbers, to get 2 points, you've got to have, you take the number of dwelling units in the township, multiply times 0.95, and if you've got that number or greater, you get the 2 points. We don't have quite the right number of jobs in the township. And to be honest, for this period, they're using interim numbers from the American something or other that show 4,200 dwelling units. We actually have 4,600 by census. So by the time we roll around again, it'll be good to have the QAP revised. Those revisions are out in draft form, and I guess will be adopted sometime toward the end of the year or early next year. Otherwise, and we continue the hearing, so we sort of held the process in abeyance so we wouldn't have to notice again, but we will have to re-notice because it looks like we're going to cancel the first ordinance. The changes are substantive.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we'll start over again.
Right.
It's
going to be introduction of a new ordinance. Yeah. It's going to be an introduction of a new ordinance.
Yeah, with the first and second reading.
Yeah.
Dan Prater came by from JCP&L to talk about some of their improvements after the storms last year. And it's kind of interesting. They have a new device. On larger lines, there are these things called reclosers. So if a branch falls on a line, the circuit breaker pops open, resets, pops open. After three tries, it stays open. They've got something that's much cheaper and sounds like it'll be a more ubiquitous kind of a fix. You've probably seen those ribbed fuses up in holders on top of some of the poles.
Yeah, I was wondering what.
Well, they make smart fuses now that actually act like reclosers, except they're timed. And they'll try to reset the circuit either once or twice and then sort of say, we give up. And apparently they can see that disturbance back at JCP&L Central in Morristown, so they can not dispatch crews if the fault is cleared, and they'll know where to dispatch crews if it hasn't. So kind of a nice thing. And what else?
They're doing some tree trimming, too.
A lot more tree trimming. They're going up not just to the distribution, the lower lines, but to the transmission lines, the tall ones. And
the drawback is they're asking us to pay for it.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Us the user to pay for it.
Oh, okay.
I thought
you meant the township.
Yeah.
Well, it's a small fee, but when you listen to what John's saying, do this in telecommunications, when you do that, there is a significant reduction in the force required for your repairs called break fix because you're doing it automatically. So their savings should be made on the installation of this equipment should save them significant sums of money. So to go to the PUC and request a rate increase to pay for that
is sort of shareholders.
Sort of contradictory.
Yeah.
I just want to alert you because I'm going through this process with JCP&L right now.
In Springfield, you mean?
Springfield. And they are trimming trees and taking logs and large branches, dropping the stuff on the ground and leaving it. They say they're not taking it away. In fact, I thought first it was the state. I contacted the state. They came back to me and said it's not us, it's JCP&L. So I'm trying to get JCP&L on the tree contract. They said, this is the instructions we were given. We take them
How
down
can they be allowed to do that?
They've been doing it for years.
Just dropping and
leaving?
That's
what they do here.
I take my little chainsaw out and that's how I get firewood.
My wife loves it because she turns wood and we get free logs out of it. But otherwise, they just dropped a few trees right by our property and left it there.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. So.
There's signs all over that say free wood.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
They'll chip it sometimes. They'll do that. They can
roll
a chipper.
They should have a chipper and drag it along and just grind them all up.
It's the big trunks they don't take.
Yeah.
The other thing they're doing, which on David Post Road in my development would be a really big help. The utility runs out here very long and slender. They go on for a couple of miles. And if David Post during the snow event was, they were beside themselves. And the carnage in their case occurred just when they made the drop off the transmission system down to distribution, all the way at the beginning. And all the way at the end where David Post comes into Petticoat, there's about a 50-foot gap. If they had 50 stinking feet of cable, they could have backfed most of their system. Yeah. Similarly, my neighborhood is all the way at the end of the run, on one side of the entrance street, the entrance street into the neighborhood. On the other side is a wholly different circuit coming up Cokesbury Road. If there was a jumper across the two poles, they could have backfed a bunch of us as well. So they're beginning to put that kind of switching in place. And so a guy with a hot stick can, you know, kind of flick it, which would, you know, get a lot more people back a lot sooner.
You'd make a lot more people happy, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'd be standing there and looking at this thing thinking, you know, for want of 30 or 40 feet of cable.
Well, I know that happens on Hermantha also because the feeder from High Bridge stops and then the feeder from Clinton Township stops and there's like a 15-foot gap between the two. And
yep. So they're turning their attention to some of those things. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more robust when the weather, it's not if, when the weather hits us again.
Okay.
That was two council meetings. It was
a very interesting report.
Second one was quiet.
Yeah.
That's one of the more interesting reports from council.
Ordinance subcommittee, I don't think...
We're supposed to meet. Anything, we haven't met yet.
Anything we need to discuss? I mean, I can set up a meeting.
I'm not sure if I remember there was anything pressing.
We want to... You raise a point that I should have mentioned a while ago. We have this project that is mostly funded by the county, about $50,000 on the part of the county, $2,500 from Clinton Town, $2,500 from us, that has brought in... A land use attorney whose name I cannot remember, and a well-known planner. Please don't ask me. Susan.
Susan begins with a G.
I know.
Gruhl.
That's it. And the objective was to discover sort of best in practice land use ordinances that would take time and money, but not control, out of the approval process. And if it makes sense to say, expand on concepts like the waiver of site plan. Homedale has a more expansive one than we do, for instance. And also talk about a technical review committee that might be able to decide on minor things without even people coming to the planning board. The report is done in draft form and should be issued. Some of the recommendations made a lot of common sense, but we said thanks very much, but we'd like what we're after is give us a town or two.
Right.
You know, don't just say here's a good idea, but who do you think has the best?
Right.
So they're in the process of doing that, and it should be issued in sort of public format, I would say within a month. Then we have to figure out, in a lot of towns, council originates these kinds of things. In this town, traditionally, most of the ordinance changes have come planning board up to council. So, you know, I'd ask you to put your thinking hats on and
six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, maybe we get a rep from both.
I can tell you how we do it in Springfield, which is in line with what you said. We do have a technical review committee that review applications and give applicants advice of how to submit their application, which would go to all that stuff. But we also have another subcommittee that does tenancy applications, so not every application has to go to the planning board. If it complies with the land use ordinance, then that subcommittee or the change of tenancy committee approves all these applications, and it lessens the load dramatically on both boards.
Yeah, but the what I'm really asking about is not the good ideas, but we're going to have some good ideas we may want to implement. And
looking for copies of ordinances that are good ordinances that do these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe if you can send over whatever you have in Springfield, although
send them to you.
The zoning officer in Clinton does a tenancy review.
Yeah.
And
the engineer in Springfield does it.
And the other thing, you're talking about the technical review committee. In theory, right, it sounds like a good idea. Once you're up and running, some developers complain it just is another added level of expenditure. You go through this technical review committee, and then you get to the planning board, and the planning board might not agree with it. And then they say, well, the technical review committee said,
you've got to be careful.
But the technical review committee is not a mandatory for you to go to that committee.
Optional?
It's optional.
Oh.
If you want to sit down with the board planner, board engineer, and board attorney, And
is it free or do you have to pay?
You put $300 in escrow to pay these guys for the two-hour meeting.
Well, we basically
do that.
It's informal, but we do it.
It is informal, and it doesn't hold anybody up. And if they don't want to go to the TRC, they don't have to.
Right.
They can go right to the board.
Yeah, we'll figure all that out, but what I'm asking about is process.
Right.
Okay? There's going to be, I'm guessing there'll be a bolus of changes in work that we'll want to consider. And perhaps it might be good to have sub-quorum members from both the planning board and council.
Good to say. So as long as you had no more than two members from council and no more than three members from the planning board, you'd have a perfect five-member committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to jinx the process too much, but you know, you also want it to be efficient, so so think about it, Kevin.
That makes sense. Yeah. All
right. Mm-hmm. You know, give me a couple of folks, and you know, I'll ask council for one, and we'll go from there. And final, it's like just a newsy tidbit. It appears the Merck site really is or will be sold very shortly. Unicom is having the first sort of by invitation public meeting on October 18 to celebrate, so we cut the ribbon.
Yeah, there was a press release on the Unicom site today that said
it was. Okay, good. So it's done. All right.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. So all the cats and dogs, politicians, but more than that, a lot of their customers are invited out to the site, you know, on the 18th. So that'll be a nice thing.
Should be a good opportunity.
Yeah. Sounds like the initial facility loading will be quite small.
Right.
And but they're a company that seems to bid on projects they may not have the expertise for, and if they get the project, they buy another company and, you know, kind of suck them in. They've been very community-minded, and there's been weekly phone calls to the county economic guy, probably for a year now. So I would look forward to having another, you know, another large, reasonably large corporate presence in the community that would be fitted out.
They're in targets to have roughly 1,000 employees there. I think I've read a couple of this.
Okay.
Not done on day one, but over time.
Yeah, they've got two facilities in Jersey, one in Parsippany and one in South Jersey.
Are they consolidating, meaning closing the other two and opening this, or are they expanding?
They've not said, but if they're going to put 200 or 300 employees in 1 million square feet of office, I would think you'd want to get rid of your lease facility as fast as you can. So, and then start looking at sublets. The building's easily demisable. It's not, you know, it's 300-foot segments and four doors for each segment that you know, can be provided with security very easily. So, anyway, good news for the county.
Mm-hmm. Another thing for the ordinance subcommittee is the application checklist, which if we implement some of these changes, mm-hmm. the checklist would have to be modified anyway.
Good point.
But we need to get the Highlands determination added to the checklist.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And we actually do need to start working on further implementation of the Highlands ordinances, and in particular, the development of a center. Forgive me if I take another maybe 3 minutes. There's a group that has now begun meeting with some frequency, and I think we're going to go to bi-monthly. It's each mayor or mayor's representative from Redington at the far eastern border of the county all the way out to the river. And we get together every 3 months now, every 4 months. Had a good talk, and the idea is figuring out if you're going to be competitive developing your town, you need to understand what you want, where it is, and have a site ready. We had a good talk from Jim Petrucci, who's a pretty well-known developer, done a lot of projects in this area and a lot more projects in Warren County and a ton of them in Lee County.
He's an affordable housing developer, correct?
Just recently. He's really industrial and commercial, but he's just branched into affordable housing. In fact, he was one of our applicants.
Right.
He
was kind of mad because we told him he was late, he couldn't submit it late.
Yeah, it looked like it pained him. Very impressive guy to talk to, though.
That's nice. I after that, I've spoken with him, and everything's fine.
No, he sounded good. But and it's pretty amazing. I mean, all the towns are there, and you know, it, warehousing really doesn't work for us. We don't have easy on and off. We don't have a service road. We don't have the ability to accommodate a lot of truck traffic. It could work in Union Township. In fact, there is some talk about raising the Hearts Mountain, not Hearts Mountain, the big office complex out there.
Foster Wheeler.
Foster Wheeler. Thank you. And perhaps turning that into a large warehouse. So there's, but it, what's really nice is the towns have an idea now that we ought to look at certain lots, understand, you know, what the utility availability is, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And everybody is in Highlands except for Reddington. So we're going to invite the Highlands folks out probably for the next meeting to talk about how to generate an economic development center.
That's good.
And it appears the new executive director is much like the previous one in terms of, you know, wanting to help as opposed to be an impediment. So so we might have some interesting stuff coming out of our next get-together. And, you know, it's something that we as a township have to do if we're going to enable the Headley project to move forward.
Right.
So I'll shut up now.
Well, that's good. That's good. Anything, I'm trying to think, environmental, open space?
Open space, we met last Thursday night. Denise is working hard, helping Jesse to get our money out of Green Acres. They have a couple of $1 million down there waiting for us, subject to the submission of a new updated ROSI. So we talked about that a bit, and oh gosh, we also talked a bit about, as you probably know, we introduced the idea of culling deer at a recent council meeting. The objective there is ecological. They're have destroyed the understory in our forest, in our, both our private and our public lands. And there's probably about 10 or 15 years worth of new growth that's missing. When you walk out there, you'll see trees that are, gosh, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches caliper at breast height, but nothing smaller than that, because as quickly as it comes up, the creatures eat it. So we're starting to embark on the formulation of a plan to hunt for initially on a small number, probably 2 public properties, and somehow have a small number of hunters who will take a large number of deer. And probably in the spring, just before the foliage buds out, we'll start to do a deer count, working with a professor from RVCC. State DEP is very interested in helping. We've had a lot of input from them. And because Clinton Town, we've got a huge number of deer, a large number of deer vehicle accidents. But
you're going to get all sorts of protesters, mm-hmm. if you're like the other municipalities that
I'm surprised you haven't gotten one. We tried to have an ordinance to not feed the deer. And my picture was put on the back of cereal boxes. And
yeah, no, it's...
Wow.
Which properties are you looking at?
In a funny way, it may be a bit like cell towers. It used to take years and blood to get a right. cell tower put up. And now it's like my cell phone service stinks. I don't care what you put up. Please, right. You know, move forward. I don't know. It's Raritan Township has done their deer counts. They're embarking on the same program. Reddington has invigorated their leasing program, not really designed on an ecological basis, but still maybe it helps. And in fact, Plainsboro is the ordinance or the procedure, the model procedure that we're using. That'll be the foundation for the procedure that we put together. I mean, we're not making
that.
Plainsboro.
Yeah, they just did one. They're about 6 months ahead of us, and you know, we'll proceed cautiously. But again, it's you know, we're just temporary custodians of the lands that we own, and the deer can regenerate, the forest can't. So I think if we keep to that message, you know, it's a pretty decent defense.
Right? There are lots of deer. I will agree.
Oh, now they don't even. They just look up at me. They don't
They're not scared.
They don't
not
even
scared anymore.
No, like domestic.
They know you're not going to do anything.
Yep. And yeah, I was shocked. After the snowstorm, I took my chainsaw out into some of our public land. Our development has about 125 acres that is owned by the community. And I thought I'd cut up some lot wood, and they were all conifers that came down. But geez, I stepped past the vines and the Dawn Olive into the woods, and you could see forever because there was no understory. It was pretty shocking when you actually walked past that perimeter where all the junk grows up into the forest. So that kind of catalyzed, you know, my thought. And we'll see. You know, I think 5 or 6 years ago, 10 years ago, it would have been a difficult slog. But I think more and more towns are
now, especially from environmentalists. Yeah. To get it, you know, better do something with those deer.
Mm-hmm. Not only is it decimating the understory of actual native plants, but you're also allowing invasives to come in and spread because they're a little bit hardier.
Yeah, maybe not as tasty.
Yeah, thorny, things like that.
Yeah.
Plenty of thorn bushes in our woods at the...
curse that, what was it, it was one of the WPA, I think, that dreamt up those thorn bushes, the Lugans, back in the 20s as a... cheap snow fence. But anyway, we'll see how that goes.
If nothing else, it will be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, I would say back in Merck days, we had a program where we had two clubs. One was employee that would hunt the 1,000 acres that Merck owned. And there were lots of terms and conditions and insurance and all that. But we ended up encouraging the hunters to work with a game butcher through Hunters Helping the Hungry, and there's several certified game butchers in the county, one of which is right out on Route 31.
Yeah, right.
And we would cut a check, and the hunters would bring the carcasses over there, they'd get butchered and sent to the food bank. Yeah. If you've ever been associated with food bank, I used to be on Northwest CAP, which is the master sort of food bank. It's a CAP for Northwest Jersey. Protein is really hard to come by. You get a lot of starch, but not much protein. So we would, in all likelihood, do the same thing. We would either pay some of the bills at the butcher or work through hunters and ensure that the excess meat doesn't go to waste.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like the great circle of life from that Disney thing.
Yeah.
You know, we had no particular difficulties for many years. So we'll see if it works here.
Good. A lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Anything else anybody have? If not, is there...
Any certain motion? Any certain motion that we're waiting for made? Mr. Snyder to make the motion.
Mr. Snyder.
You're going to wait all night waiting for Mr. Snyder.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye.
I don't think I'm going to live that one down. Thank you, Mrs. Finehands.
That's great. Oh, go ahead and sign those, I'm no rush. I'm a retired guy. I can get up fairly late tomorrow. I got coffee with the cops at 10 o'clock. The Mayo and Peter's guard.
Okay, so watch this.
So, Section 97, that's the special regulation.
He's got the wrong thing.
Right. So everyone, they all make this mistake. They say, I have a lot of references. Okay. And they look at that chart. Oh, I don't meet that chart. I need a variance for the chart. No.
If you meet the chart for the existing lot of record, you don't need a variance. If you don't meet the chart, you don't need a variance from the chart. You need a variance from the schedule in the back of the book.
I'll see
you
later.
I'll miss the big meeting.
You think so?
You will.
Okay.